This time we want to dismiss the children for Children's Church. So if you want to go, you can go on up to Children's Church there. So I was March 26, 2017. I was thinking about that date, Randy. It's about anniversary Sunday, isn't it? We're pretty close to it, aren't we? Right about 22 years ago, around this Sunday, a group of believers met in an elementary school in Ben Davis, over off of Sigsby Street. It was called, what was the name of the elementary school? Westlake Elementary School, that's it. And I remember we had gotten our chairs in it just a few, like the week before. We'd ordered the chairs, they came in. We were hauling them down Interstate 74. And I was following Pastor Mark. I had a load in a van, and he had a load on a flatbed, and all of a sudden one of the boxes blew up in the air and landed right in the middle of Interstate 74, spinning around in circles. And I pulled off, and Pastor Tom pulled off. We went and grabbed the chairs, stuck them back on the truck, and continued on. And lo and behold, when we opened up the box, guess what? Those chairs were perfectly fine. But it was an exciting day as we didn't know what was going to happen. We had spent months calling people. We just called people from there was a phone like directory. We'd call them up and ask them two quick questions. We'd say who we were, and we were, do you have time for a quick question? Two quick questions. If they said yes, we'd say, do you regularly attend a church? And if they said yes, we'd say, well, we're starting a new church. We want to encourage you to stay active in your church, and you have a great day. But if they said no, that they didn't regularly go to a church, we would say, well, we're starting a church. Would you like some information about it? And we made literally thousands and thousands of calls. I think we got up to almost 12,000 phone calls. Think about that. Literally making 12,000 phone calls, a whole group of people. Betty was one of them that got a phone call. Do you remember getting that phone? Deborah Sifford got a phone call just like that. In fact, as I was looking around today, there's 10 people here that were in that very first service. So if you were there in that very first service, raise your hand. There in the back. And Miranda's upstairs. She was here. We have my mom here today. And Mom was there. And Deborah and Betty. And as people came in, we were excited. And I was thinking about the people that were there, some of the men that were there are now pastors. It's hard to imagine that at that time, that some of the people that were there would be going into full-time, God would call them into full-time ministry. And over the years, we've had different men that God has called and are now serving him as a pastor or a missionary. Well, today we're going to be in the book of Esther. I knew my mom was going to be here. I picked the book of Esther, Mom, for you. My mom's name is Esther, by the way. So would you turn to the book of Esther in chapter 4. Esther, chapter 4. When Mordecai learned all that he had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes, and he put on sackcloth and ashes, and he went out into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and a bitter cry. Verse 2. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king commanded and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. And when Esther's young women and her eunuchs came and told her the king was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he might take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. And then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what it was and why it was. And Hathach went to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai had told him all that had happened to him and the exact sum of the money that Haman had promised unto the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. And Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for the destruction, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her and command her to go to the king to beg his favor and to plead with him on behalf of all of her people. And Hathach went and he told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law, to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden sepulchre so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come to the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. And then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And then Esther told him to reply to Mordecai, go and gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my young women also will fast as you do. And then I will go to the king, and though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish. And Mordecai went away, and he did everything as Esther had ordered him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would take your message and your word and impress it upon our hearts. Lord, just black out all the cares and things are coming into our mind and our heart right now. And help us to focus solely upon your word and what you'd have to share to us today. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Give you a little background to the story of Esther. The Jews have been overrun. The country had been knocked away, out of power, and King Nebuchadnezzar had taken some of the Jews and he had brought them back to his own country. And you remember he selected some of the best of the best, some of the brightest young men and women, and they took them to be captives, to be slaves. And so Mordecai was one of the ones that was taken captive, was brought back. He was in Jerusalem. He had to leave Jerusalem. He is brought as a prisoner, as one of the slaves. And now he finds himself in the capital, Susa. He had a young relative, a little girl, that also was brought back. And I imagine she was probably very bright. For some reason, they thought somebody wanted her as a servant girl or whatever. But she was brought back. But the Bible doesn't talk about her parents anywhere. So it makes me think that her parents either had been killed or died, or they were left back in Israel. Could you imagine that, being ripped from your mom and dad at a young age? But fortunately, God had another plan. And God had an uncle there, Mordecai, to take care of her. And so he raised her just like his own daughter. And he loved her greatly. Well, at this time, there was a king, King Xerxes, who was very, very, very powerful. And if you look in chapter 1 of Esther, just turn back there for a minute, we see a little bit about him in his. So Esther chapter 1, flip back to verse 3. Now, I don't think we lost the video camera or the projector. Okay. So in verse 3, it says, in the third year of his reign, he gave a feast for all of his officials and servants, the army of Persia and Media, and the nobles and the governors of the provinces were before him. And while he showed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor and pomp of his greatness for many days, 180 days. Wow, that's some party. Now, we've had friends over. You guys have had friends over for a party. You've provided food, and you probably have maybe even made a huge meal. Jenny, what's the longest you've ever had a party? Has it lasted more than a few hours? Several days. And sometimes they roll into your house and they find all kind of relatives that you hadn't seen all year, but on race day they come to visit you maybe. But could you imagine hosting a party for 180 days and paying for it? Feeding everybody for 180 days. And all this time he's showing him his great wealth and all of his power. It goes on to say in verse 7 and 8, look what they did. It said, drinks were served in golden vessels. Wow. Brought out the golden cups. And vessels of different kinds. So not just, everybody didn't always have the same golden cup. They brought out different golden cups. You have to be pretty wealthy to have a golden cup, let alone many different types of golden cups. You can imagine how they would be thrilled as a new batch of drinks would come around. They'd look at, oh, look at this cup. Oh, man, that's fancy. Oh, look at my cup. He was just showing off all of his wealth. And not only that, verse 8 says, and drinking was according to this edict. There was no compulsion. So he's passing out drinks. And you can imagine for a 180-day party. And not only that, it goes on to say, for the king had given orders to all the staff of his palace to do as each man desired. Wow. I imagine that turned into a pretty wild party. And then the king, and the Bible goes on to tell us that while this is going on, Esther took the women to a separate part of the palace. And she had a party for the women. And so the men are on one side, the gals are in another area of the palace. And all of a sudden, the king, after much drinking, decides, I want to bring in my Queen Esther. And the Bible says that she was very beautiful to look upon. Esther. No, not Esther, his wife, Vesta. And he brings Vesta out. At least he calls for her. And she never comes. She refuses to come. And the Bible says the king got furious. And you know the story, many of you have read this, that they made, one of the guys suggested, well, you can't let her get away with this king. All the other wives will hear about how she didn't obey you. And pretty soon they won't obey us. You got to do something, king. And so the king said, okay. And he kicked her out from being queen. He kicked his queen out and made an edict that she could never come back. And the Bible says later on, he felt great remorse, probably sobered up, and realized, oh, my wonderful queen, I've kicked her out. So we had a king that had great anger, had a history of exploding with anger. He's very powerful. And so we get into Esther chapter 4, and that's kind of the background. Esther now was just a young girl. We didn't finish that part of the story. You know, she was also selected to be one of the potential new brides for the king. They realized he needed a new bride, so they said, let's get all the beautiful young ladies and we'll pick one for the king. And all through the book of Esther, never once is God's name mentioned. It's the only book in the Bible where God's name isn't mentioned. But all through this book, you see the hand of God at work. God very clearly. And that's the message I think he's telling us when we read the book of Esther, is that God is in control, even though we don't want to admit it, or even though we don't see it. Behind the scenes, God is in control. And so little Esther is going to be one of the girls that the king would get to date. And the way they did it is the girl would prepare for 1 year. Could you imagine that? Or for a period of time, he would prepare to go on their date with the king. And the guy that was in charge of all the girls to get them ready, guess who God laid on his heart to favor? Esther. And so he gave Esther special things. She had special attendants to take care of her. And he even told her what the king liked, and he gave her the choice of the clothes and what she should wear. And so the day of her date, and by the way, if you dated the king, Megan, this would be terrible. If you went on the date and if he didn't like you, guess what? You weren't allowed to date anybody else. That'd be horrible, wouldn't it? Terrible. That's what they did. And so it's an all or nothing for her. And she goes, and God caused the king to fall in love with Esther. Of all the pretty girls, it was Esther that God put in his heart. And so now Esther is the queen. And there's a wicked man by the name of Haman. And Haman hated the Jews. And he specifically hated Esther's uncle, Mordecai. And he did everything that he could to try to get back at Mordecai. And one day he came to the king with a plan and he said, King, oh king, there's a group of people that don't love you. There's a group of people that don't follow you. They're different from every other people. And they don't follow your laws. And Lord, let there be a statue that, and if you turn in chapter 3, we'll read this. And it's a day of great sadness. Haman, in verse 8 of chapter 3, Haman said to the king, there's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the province of the kingdom. Their laws are different from those of every other people. They do not keep the king's law, so that is not for the king's profit to tolerate them. And if it please the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed. And then on top of that, look what he does. He said, I will pay 10,000 talents of silver. Okay, 10,000 talents of silver. I did some of the math on that. That's about, in today's price with silver, that's about 12 million ounces of silver. And if silver is about $20 an ounce, that's almost $250 million. $250 million in today's dollars that he's offering to give to the king's treasury if he'll let the Jews be destroyed. He said, I'll take that 10,000 talents and I'll put it in your treasure, O king. And so what does the king do? He takes off his signature ring and gives it to him. And they make a law that says on a certain day, every Jew was to be destroyed. And their belongings would belong to the people then that destroyed them. And he took the king's ring and he sealed it. And once it was sealed with the king's ring, that law could not be changed. The king couldn't come back the next day and say, I don't want that law. It was too late. And so the law was written. And it was a day set that every single Jew would be destroyed. And the decree went out to all the provinces. And could you imagine being a Jew and reading this death notice? That on a certain day, every Jew, including you, would be killed. And so it was a day of great sorrow. And sometimes we go along in life and everything seems to be perfect and everything seems to be fine, but you know what? There are days of great sorrow. There are days that challenges come up that we never expect. And this was a day that Esther was going to face. And on this particular day, her uncle, Mordecai, hearing the news that all the Jews were going to be killed, he took his clothes and he put on sackcloth. Took off his clothes, put on sackcloth. You know how itchy sackcloth would be. And he took ashes, black ashes, which is used for mourning, and he rubbed it over him. And he went outside the court, by the court gate. He couldn't come in, because that was against the law for him to come in with these ashes on and the sackcloth. But right outside the gate, and the Bible says in chapter 4, that when Mordecai learned that it had been done, he tore his clothes, and he put on sackcloth and ashes. And he went into the midst of the city, and he cried out aloud. And sometimes we are so sad that there doesn't seem to be any relief that comes. Sometimes there's hurt that we experience. It seems like it'll never go away. One of our daughters, and I won't say which one, when they were about 3 years old, had got their fingers shut in the door. And long about the middle of the night, they started to cry, and we got up and checked them. And the finger had gotten infected underneath the fingernail. And so I took our daughter to the emergency room, and I remember it was the longest wait ever in the emergency room, especially with a little one, and she's in pain. So after about 3 hours, we finally get a doctor come in. The doctor, I could barely understand him. He spoke broken English. And he looked at her finger, and he said, I'll have to put a hole in it to relieve the pressure. And he left. And my daughter, who was very, very much in pain, all of a sudden started sobbing uncontrollably. And I asked her, does it hurt more? And I was trying to help her. And you know what she said? She says, I don't want a hole in my finger. And he didn't mean that he was going to put a hole in her finger. He was just going to put a hole in the fingernail. But he didn't explain that to my 2.5, 3-year-old daughter. And it's a good thing that doctor didn't come back. I said a few words to him about what he says to a little child. But a different doctor came back in, and in just a matter of maybe 60 seconds, he very gently, very carefully put a little hole in her fingernail. And as soon as he did that, the pressure was relieved and the pain stopped. They put a Band-Aid and we went home. But sometimes that pain seems like it'll never stop. And Mordecai is crying, and he had a plan, got it laid on his heart, that his little niece was now queen. And God had laid on his heart that this was a deliverance that God had prepared for his people. And he couldn't go see Esther, but the word came to Esther that her uncle was in mourning. Let's look at verse 11 of chapter 4. She had sent a servant, and the servant came back with this message from Mordecai. He wanted Esther to go talk to the king. Esther was faced with a decision. Should she go and talk to the king or not? Should she try to save her people? Now, she would have been putting herself in danger. We see that here in verse 11. It says, all the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that if any man or woman go to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law: to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. She had a real fear of being rejected by the king. Sometimes our mind just races when we have things come up and we start thinking about what's going to happen. And she probably thought, well, I may go into the throne room and he may hold the scepter to me, but man, he's going to be mad at me. He didn't call me. Or worse yet, I'll walk in and he doesn't hold out the golden scepter to me. And those guards, well, they'll come and grab me and they'll drag me out and I'll be executed. So it was every reason that she had to fear. And in our passage, she told her uncle, for 30 days the king hasn't called me. And what does that tell us? Maybe there was some marital problems going on. Maybe the king was mad at her. For 30 days, could you imagine not talking to your spouse for 30 days? She had every reason to be scared. Sometimes the unknown, our mind just races with possibilities. Instead of trusting in God, we start thinking about all the things that could happen. And sometimes things are very scary. I remember when we were kids at our gym in Belmont every year, the school had a carnival. And they had a big stage, the basketball gym. And on the one end, it was an old-style gym and had the stage. And there were some stairs that went up to one side into a locker room. And I remember they would close the curtain. And they had a house of surprises behind that curtain. And everybody was, it was a scary house. And I remember one year going up, walking up the steps. And you got up to the top step. Well, you couldn't see in front of your face. It was completely blind. And there were people in there that would jump out and scare you. And so you're waiting for somebody to jump out and scare you. And I'm climbing up the steps. And all of a sudden I take a step and there's air. And they brought steps up and then it ended. And there were mattresses down below. And you literally fell into the mattresses. Now today they wouldn't be allowed to do that. Somebody would get hurt. Insurance company would say, no, you can't do that. I remember falling. I remember being very, very scary. Just the fear of the unknown as a little kid in elementary school. Somebody jumping out and scaring you. But you know, as adults, we have real fears. And what do we do when we have those kind of fears? Well, sometimes we can hesitate. And Esther hesitated. She says, "I can't, don't you know it's a law against me doing that? Don't you know that for 30 days the king hasn't called me?" We have a day of doubt. And I'm so glad that Mordecai was there to encourage his niece. And sometimes we need Christians around us to come along and encourage us and shake us up and say, you know, God's in control. God will help you through this. And so what did Mordecai do? I mean, Uncle Mordecai. Let's look in verse 12. So then Mordecai, they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther. And here's his response. And this is a great passage. We need to just let our heart sink on these next couple verses. He says, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than any of the other Jews, all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time and relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." And he encouraged her. He says, "Don't you know, you can't just be quiet. If you choose to be quiet, do you think you're going to escape?" People would tell that she was a Jew. And sometimes as Christians, we want to keep silent, don't we? We know the truth about who Jesus Christ is. We know that He's God's Son, that He died for us. But there's people all around us that are facing a worse death than what these Jews would. It's an eternal death, an eternal punishment in a lake of fire that they're facing. And we know the answer. We know the good news that Jesus God's Son died for them. We know that. And yet we keep quiet. A day of doubt. He says, if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place. You know what? Even when we fail to tell people about Christ, God has a plan. And His plan is to use you and I as His mouthpieces, to be His witnesses. But if we choose to be quiet, you know, God can use somebody else. But that's our job. When God gives us the opportunity to share the gospel, we need to share it. And that's what He was telling Esther. This is your time to speak up to save your people. You need to take a step of faith. And you need to share. You need to go to the king and beg. He even said to her to beg. Whatever it takes to save your people. And so, she had a day of doubt. It was a day of decision for her. God had challenged her. What would she do? A day of decision, verses 12 and 14. Could you imagine all the thoughts going through her mind? Maybe she's saying, why hasn't the king called me in 30 days? Is he mad at me? Maybe she knew. I don't know. But she had to be thinking the possibility if she walked into that throne room, the king may not hold out the golden scepter to her. And so there are times that we have to make a decision. And are we going to follow God or are we not going to follow God? Are we going to be faithful to God or not be faithful? Are we going to be quiet? Are we going to take the opportunity to share? There was a young man in high school that I had just one class with. I don't even know where he lived. But just one particular year, he sat in the same classroom across the aisle from me. He wasn't in any of my other classes. I never saw him for gym class or before and after school. I don't even know what town he lived in. But one day I took the opportunity to talk to him. And some of the other kids didn't talk to him. I think he was kind of a loner a little bit. But he had a girlfriend. And I remember one day talking to him about God. And he told me he went to a Catholic church and that he was part of a Catholic group. I forget the name of it. It was a youth group. But I remember him saying he didn't really believe too much in God. Even though that he went with his family, he didn't really believe too much in it. I didn't have much opportunity in class to share with him. Only, you know, a minute or two there before the bell. Couldn't really talk to him in class. And he was only in my class about 2 or 3 weeks. And on one lunch period, back in those days, you could get in your car and you could drive to a restaurant or go home to eat. And so he got in the car with his girlfriend, and there were two other couples, so six kids in the same car. And he went, got on Interstate 70, which was just a quarter mile from the high school. He got on the 70, and I think they were probably headed to another little town to get something to eat over in St. Clairsville. And he took the car, and he went down into the grass medium and came back on the other side, and he steered his car right into a semi. And all six of them were killed. And Mom, I don't know if you remember that. But it's very tragic. And they found in his pocket a suicide note. And how tragic. All six of them went off into eternity. And maybe he thought he was ending his misery here on earth. Maybe, I don't know what it was. But he kept something deep inside of him hidden. And I remember when I heard that news, I said, I wish I would have shared more with him. But I leave it to God. But I wish I would have shared more with him. We never know how much time and how much opportunity God will give us to share with other people. We need to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us. Whether it's in the grocery store waiting in line, whether it's at work with a coworker, whether it's a family member, or whatever it is that God lays in our heart, if God gives us an opportunity to speak up, how dare I be quiet? And how dare we keep quiet? And so Esther was faced with that day of decision, and she made that great statement of faith decision, verse 15 and 16. And Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "And go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, and though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish." And she made that decision. I'm going to go. She made a decision to go all in. To go all in. You know what they say about the cow and the chicken? You know what they say about the cow and the chicken? No, they say the cow and the chicken, they're very interested in breakfast. But the pig, he's all in. And Esther on that day was all in. She didn't risk just somebody making fun of her. She didn't risk just going and sharing some news and people laughing at her, making fun of her. She didn't risk just going and offending a friend or a family member. She risked her life to save her people. She was all in. I'm glad God gives us stories about people who faced one of the most difficult situations you could be in. And she did the right thing. And she went and she spoke to the king. Are we all in? Are we going to be cows and chickens, or are we going to be pigs? Verse 16 says, "And I will go to the king, and though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish." I'm going to go. I'm going to talk to my king. I'm going to talk to my husband. And he hasn't seen me in 30 days. He hasn't called for me. I don't care. My people are going to die. My people are facing the greatest danger. It's going to happen. There's a law been written. The law cannot be changed. They're going to be killed. And there's a law in this book. It says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." There's coming a day when every single person will stand before God, and everything that we've ever done is revealed. And we will have no excuse. We will all be guilty, except Jesus Christ has died and paid our penalty. And everyone that's trusted in Christ, guess what the Bible says? You are forgiven. You're made as though you're what you're wearing could be soaked in blood and red and stained. And yet God says, "I will make you as white as snow. As far as the east is from the west, I'll remove your sin." And he wants that right relationship with us. He wants to save us. God wanted to save his people. He wanted Esther to be the instrument. And so Esther went to the king, and you guys know the story. She walked in, and the king held out his scepter. And she came to him. And he said, "What do you want, Queen Esther? Anything of my kingdom, up to half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you." And she said, "Let's have a banquet. Let me have a meal prepared for you." And you guys know the story about Haman, wicked, wicked Haman, that wanted all the Jews killed. He came in just at that very time. And he The king had gone to sleep that night. He woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't finish sleeping. He said to his servants to bring the book of the law in. They started reading the law, and what happened? They found the passage where Mordecai had saved the king from two people that were going to kill him. And he said, whatever happened to that man? What kind of reward did we give that man? And nothing had been done. And just then Haman came in, and he told Haman, Haman thought he was talking about himself, to go prepare his horse. They could be paraded around the city and be rewarded. Haman thought he was talking about himself. And here and behold, he told him it was Mordecai. So Haman had to lead Mordecai around on the king's horse through all the city. And you can imagine his anger. And he got home that night, and guess what he did? He told his wife. His wife said, make a gallows. And he built a gallows to hang Haman on, or Mordecai. He built it 50 cubits high, 75 feet high up in the air. It was all prepared. The Jews were going to be destroyed. At least man was trying to destroy them. The gallows had already been prepared. And let me tell you, there is a lake already prepared. There is a destruction. There is a punishment that is every bit as sure as that gallows was. But God was interceding. She had the banquet, and she didn't tell him in the first banquet, the second banquet. The king again said, what do you want, Queen Esther, up until half of my kingdom? And she begged for his life. And that surprised the king. And you guys know the rest of the story. He said, who is it that's trying to kill you? And she said, it's a wicked man, Haman. He's right there. And you know that the story, the king went out to the garden. He was so furious at Haman. He came back in. Haman was begging for Esther for his life. The king thought he was trying to assault Queen Esther. And they took him and they hung him on those gallows. They hung Haman. And the rest of the story, there's another day that they were to be killed, and they wrote a new law that the Jews could rise up and kill their enemies. And so the Jews who were going to be destroyed now were victorious. So God rescued his people all because of one little girl who God led her to be taken and ripped away from her family, be taken to an enemy country, away from her parents. And God raised her up to be queen. And he put her in such a place and at such of a time that she could be used to deliver every single Jew. And sometimes God puts us in just the right place at just the right time and gives us the opportunity to speak up and share. And we might have fears like Esther, but the challenge to you and me is, will we respond? Will we be all in? And will we share the good news? Now, Esther had to beg for her life. We simply have to share the good news of what Jesus Christ did for us. Would you close your eyes? I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you've known this Bible story. Maybe you've read many, many Bible stories in the course of your lifetime. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've heard that Jesus is God's Son. And maybe you've heard the many, many stories of the countless miracles that Jesus did. Maybe even you've read in the Bible all the prophecies that talked about Jesus, that God was going to send his Son, that he was going to be born in the town of Bethlehem, that he was going to come up out of Egypt, that he was going to be called a Nazareth. All the prophecies that talked about how he was going to die, how they were going to gamble for his cloak, how he was going to be betrayed for pieces of silver, how he was going to be buried with a rich man's tomb, and on the third day he was going to come back alive. Maybe you've heard those prophecies from the Bible, and every one of them came true. But there's never been a time in your life where in your heart you said, dear God, I realize I've been a sinner. I deserve to go to that lake of fire. I'm in just like the Jews, I'm facing a punishment or destruction. But the destruction in hell never ends. The Bible says that they're tormented both day and night, day and night. No hope whatsoever of ever escaping that lake of fire. And to know all that time that maybe there was a day when you could have responded to God, that you could have accepted His free gift of forgiveness simply by believing in your heart that Jesus, His Son, died for you, was buried, He came back alive, and saying to God, I want to believe today in your Son. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, make me as clean as the snow. All my guilt, take it away, Lord. I give it to you. And this day, I trust in Jesus. Maybe today, God has called you and said, you know what? I put you in this place at work or with my family. I put you in a certain relationship with somebody. And God wants you to speak to that person. And you've been keeping quiet. And you know God wants you to go talk to them. Say to God, I'm all in. If I perish, I perish, but I'm going to go talk. I don't care what they say. I don't know how they may respond, but I know the truth. I know the gospel. I know the good news that they need to hear, that Jesus loves them and He died for them. And you like to say to God, I want to take that step of obedience and I want to go like Esther and I want to speak. Lord, give me the words. So we have an invitation.